The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Compass Care CEO Jim Harden held a news conference saying this was no accident. Harden says the graffiti written on the backside of the office Jane was here is in reference to an extreme abortion group called Jane Revenge.
So Jane's Revenge is this group that's attempting to strike fear into the hearts of pro-life service organizations to keep them from providing care.
Harden says a similar clinic was targeted in Madison, Wisconsin last month.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, coming up in a few minutes, we'll get to that story as well. It's a big story with more abortion clinics being attacked, pro-life pregnancy centers, I should say, being attacked, not abortion clinics. And these people do wonderful work. I'll also tell you what an exorcist said about abortion. I just read a fascinating piece on the spiritual dynamic behind all of this. That and more coming up. But if you're just joining me, Father Paul Sullins is here. He's an emeritus professor of sociology at Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C. Right now, he's senior research associate at the Ruth Institute. Check them out. They do a great job. And Father, what is the web domain for Ruth again? Is it Ruth.org, Ruth Institute?
Ruthinstitute.org.
.org, and it was that. All right, good. And if you're just joining us, we were talking a little bit. Josephine from Union, New Jersey called. She says a friend brought her into the faith, but after the scandal took place, she ended up leaving. And to your point, Father, you know, when people say that to me, I often say, are you going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? I mean, fundamentally,
right.
96% of the priests, you know, I think it was 4% of the number that they came up with back then, 3 to 4% of the priests, you know, they betrayed the vows of their ordination. That left the majority of priests who never did this, you know, being sullied by the actions of the few. And then what happened afterwards? You know, the time that was going on, the church had this idea that somebody who had made that type of mistake could be you know, they can get treatment and be helped, and then they would be reassigned. And they realized the rate of recidivism was so high that the church itself changed its protocol. We have very stringent seminary requirements now, and there's all. I had to give a talk in a church somewhere down in Texas. I had to go through this whole course just to be able to go ahead and to do that. So the church has taken this seriously, and the rate of that type of offense is almost non-existent right now. So I always like to bring up the data for those who say, oh, the church is filled with all these pedophiles. That's not true. The data doesn't point to that. And then to your point, what are you, crazy? Are you an idiot? You're going to walk away from Jesus truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. You must not really know your faith, right? The sacraments, you're going to walk away from them. Right. Why? Because of one person? So, you know, to your point, I go ahead, Father, pick it up.
It always makes me uncomfortable when someone says, oh, I love Father so-and-so, and oh, it's so great, and it's so wonderful. Our priest is such a holy man, and it's like their attachment is to that human being. It makes me uncomfortable because we do tend to put priests on pedestals. I don't know if that's clericalism or not, but it is dangerous to our spiritual growth. It's much better if we recognize that priest is fallible, and sometimes he's mean, and sometimes he fails. But Jesus it will never fail. Jesus will give us his mercy and his abundant grace always. You know, I'm thinking of a Bible verse, Romans 5:20. St. Paul says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And he's making the point that the darkest things that happen on this earth only stimulate grace to grow even more. In fact, in the Greek, we talk about something being hyper. Literally, in the Greek, he uses the prefix hyper, grace, hyperabounded. And so he's talking about sin that comes in and grows. It's abounding like water coming down a river. Mm-hmm. And then when that happens, he says, grace overflows the banks of the river and floods everything around it. It just super grows. So you can't be so dark and mean and evil that God is not even more gracious and kind and loving and pulls us up into his light and his kingdom.
Yep. My heart went out because there was a big scandal that just came to light. I forget what denomination was, but you know they're going through their own thing right now. It was some Protestant denomination where it came to light, and there was a study done mm-hmm. by the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times after the scandal took place in early 2000s, showing that the rate of abuse within public schools was at 10%, not 4%. So, you know, and I don't want to point fingers at other people, but yeah, I think perspective is so important on these issues. Let's go back to the phones because I know they only have you for a few minutes. Margaret is in Chicago, Illinois. Margaret, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Father. Thank you so much.
Hello, Margaret.
To both of you. And I just wanted to say that I go to confession regularly, and I've just had some of the most amazing experiences, but some haven't been so great. But I looked at myself, and I said, well, I'm not so great all the time either, right? Like, priests are human, and, you know, they have bad days too. So, you know, when I started looking at my own behavior, I'm like, well, geez, I'm not perfect either. So, yeah, it's just we're all humans and we all have to pray for each other. And I just feel so blessed that we have priests for the Eucharist, the sacraments. So, yeah, it's just a kind of my perspective. So thank you. And you're in
thank
my
you,
prayers,
Mark.
Father.
God bless you.
You too, Drew.
Thanks.
Thank you, Margaret.
Did you want to respond, Father?
Well, I like the practice at the end of a confession when the priest says, will you please also pray for me? Because it acknowledges what Margaret is saying to us, that the priest is a sinner right along the other sinners. It's not like the priests are somehow better than anyone else. And I really admire Pope Francis in that practice because he says that to people a lot when he's talking to people and they have sort of a serious exchange. He says, please pray for me.
Amen.
It's a wonderful acknowledgement of fallibility and humility.
Bella is in California. Bella, thank you for your patience. You're on the air with Father Sullins.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. This is kind of a very personal issue that I've been suffering through. So since I was 18, I kind of struggled with chronic depression. Mm-hmm. And as a Catholic growing up in Catholic schools, you know, I understood that, you know, suicide was never the answer to any of our problems. But, you know, those temptations kind of persisted. But I just wanted to acknowledge that the role of priests in getting me through all those dark times is so important. But sometimes in confession, when I would confess, you know, thoughts of self-harm, it was sort of not acknowledged by the priest. So sometimes I kind of left feeling like, you know, that I hadn't really encountered, you know, the advice or encouragement that I needed. However, most recently at an Ignatian retreat, I met a priest who really guided me through like the process of forgiveness and healing through past trauma. And at the end of that experience, I just felt like so amazed at this particular person's holiness and just great love and gentleness because, you know, part of my wounds were just distrust, especially of people of the opposite gender. And yet he was like very, very, you know, gentle shepherd. And I just realized that it was really not him really working, but it was God kind of working through him to really show me that, you know, I shouldn't give up and that I did belong in the church, even though I was a sinner. So I'm really thankful for those priests who kind of go above and beyond for just a single person.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And it's a testament to you, your willingness and readiness to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Because I think it works in from both directions. Someone comes into the confessional and they've prayed and they've prepared and their heart is open to hear, it enables the Holy Spirit to speak to them through that priest. And I've seen that happen a number of times where I'm saying something, I'm not even sure why I'm saying it or how important it is to the person in the confessional, and they will say, they have a reaction that says, wow, that's exactly what I need to hear. And it has a powerful impact on that person. It's not because of anything I've done. It's because God is present. This is a sacrament. It is a divine moment when we come in contact with God himself in a special way. When we are, you know, properly disposed and prepared and I mean, it's always a moment with the divine, but there are particular times when we realize it and are touched by it. One thought that came to my mind when you began speaking was that often people come into the confessional and they'll have a long list of sins, 15 or 20 different things that are on their heart and mind, and you have to choose which ones of those you're going to talk about. You can't talk about all of them usually because there's a line of other people waiting out there. So you try to choose the ones that are most important or that the Lord raises to your consciousness. And so sometimes the priest may not speak to every single thing that you say. And it's not because it's unimportant, but just because there has to be some selectivity. So I encourage you, I'm so blessed by what you've shared with us this afternoon, because I can tell that you have a lot of pain and suffering that you have endured, and that you're working your way through that, and you are finding your way to an upward view of life, to look toward the light, to choose to live, and to face life with all of its sometimes anxieties and difficulties, but to prevail in that, and to find grace and mercy. Well, and powerful life in that. So I encourage you in that. That's a wonderful thing.
Bella, thank you for your call. I'm grateful. Father, I'm grateful for what you said, too, because you're right. I mean, I was thinking of St. Faustina when you said, sometimes you don't even know what you're saying, that the Holy Spirit is working through you. The Lord told St. Faustina, he said, the greatest miracles take place, and they're incessantly repeated in the confessional. And he said to her, he says, when you approach that sacrament, you go into that confessional, know this, that I myself am waiting for you. I'm only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. So it is Christ who works through you. He is there. He's only hidden by the priest. I want to encourage anyone who's listening today, maybe it's not chance, maybe this is God incidents, maybe the Lord's speaking to you right now. Find confession in your area tomorrow and go. Maybe you've been away for a long time. It'll be the greatest decision of your life. You're going to feel a new joy. You're going to feel a new beginning. You're going to feel a weight lifted. And then get to the sacrament of the Eucharist and just get ready for a torrent of graces. Father, thank you for being with us. Would you give us your blessing before we wrap it up here?
Yes. Gracious God, I ask you to bless every person hearing my voice, that you would give them everything that they need today. Draw them close to you and fill them with the presence of your Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Father, thank you. We'll pray for you, too. Everyone say a quick prayer for Father off our Hail Mary or an Our Father or a prayer for him. He could certainly use it for his family. Father, thank you. And check him out, ruthinstitute.org. It's a great institution. He is, of course, a senior research associate there. And we'll catch up again, Father. Always grateful for your time and your expertise.
Thank you, Drew. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Father Paul Sullen's there. I wish I had 5 hours to stay with you. I really do. There's so much to talk about. There's so much to get into. And I'm grateful for everyone who's been waiting to get onto the conversation. But I do want to hit on one other issue here today, too. A couple other issues I want to get to before our time together runs out today. And what we're seeing around the country, I'm going to call you to pray for these attacks that we're witnessing now on pro-life pregnancy centers all across the country. I think we're going to see more of them as the Dobbs decision is ultimately released, ever since it was leaked. You believe it was 5 weeks ago when that was leaked? Ever since that, just in 5 weeks, there have been attacks on pro-life organization buildings all across the country. First one happened in Madison, Wisconsin. We spoke to the person who worked there. It's a pro-life lobbying group, right? That's what they do. You know, they help all sorts of people, and they were graffitied with these symbols on the outside of the buildings. A Molotov cocktail was thrown in there, and the graffiti said, "If abortion isn't safe, neither are you." And that's the chant that we're kind of hearing, too. No peace, you know, no privacy, no peace outside of Supreme Court Justice Barrett's place now. There's a group called Jane's Revenge, and they claimed responsibility for that particular act of vandalism. Since then, lots of others have been attacked, right? One in Salem, Oregon, they had their windows broken, and a fire was started inside. It didn't do a whole lot of damage, but the same threatening message has been left in Florida and North Carolina and Texas and Washington State, Washington, D.C. The worst of these The worst of these attacks so far was in Buffalo, New York, where the Compass Care Medical Office was firebombed over the weekend. Did you hear about it? You're probably saying, not really, right? Yeah, this stuff is so muted, so not talked about by the mainstream media. I said to my producer this morning, I said, if this was a synagogue, God forbid it is, or let's say this was a Planned Parenthood, right? Imagine this being Planned Parenthood. The media would be all over this. Imagine somebody went out to had an assassination attempt on Elena Kagan, right? Or Sotomayor, another Supreme Court justice. It'd be front page news. There's this total bias and disconnect in the country when it comes to these issues, especially when those defend life. The Students for Life of America is reporting that their pro-life activists are seeing an increase in physical assaults as they peacefully protest. You have these pro-death activists that are throwing water bottles and bike locks at these peaceful protesters, physically assaulting them, yelling in their ears. You know, and you heard earlier when I began the program, the group Ruth sent us is out protesting in front of the homes of Supreme Court justices. They want to intimidate them to overturn Roe v. Wade. But here's the thing. While all this is going on, we haven't heard anything from certain national politicians, huh? Telling people to stop what they're doing. Instead, it's like, oh, these people are really passionate about this issue. You're just expressing their feelings. That's what you're hearing, right? Have you heard from President Joe Biden condemning the attempted assassination of Justice Kavanaugh? Uh-uh. Jim Hardin is CEO of Compass Care, the Buffalo pro-life clinic that was firebombed. And he's been tracking these incidences very closely. He's working with law enforcement to get them resolved. He joins me today. Jim, thank you for what you do. It's good to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, you have a clinic. You got to tell us what happened. What exactly were you doing there? Tell us about the damage done to your building in Buffalo and what kind of response have you got?
Well, you just described the face of the abortion industry. You know, this was a cowardly act of violence. They came in the dark of night on Tuesday morning, early at 2:30, broke windows, set fires, and scrawled their signature message in graffiti on the side of our wall saying, "Jane was here." Mm. The building was massively damaged, fire damage, smoke damage throughout. We're going to have to gut and start over. It's going to take hundreds of thousands of dollars, multiple months to get us back online, but we're going to do it. We've already started today to rebuild, and we had to reroute patients to Rochester for their healthcare needs and their, you know, community resource needs. But they did it. I mean, it was, you know, the people in Buffalo have responded so powerfully, and across the country, by the way. They would not have Compass Care homeless. We were offered two different locations. We were up and running the very next day. What they were intending to do was stop us from serving women. This was not an attack on Compass Care. This was an attack on women. The motto of Jane's Revenge is, if abortion isn't safe, then neither are you. It's not about women. It's about abortion. This is the face of the abortion industry. The masks are off.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, I'm curious as to the police response. I know the media has been relatively silent. We know where they are, social media as well. What are the police doing to investigate what happened to your clinic? What kind of response have you gotten? Strong, moderate, indifferent? I mean, where are they on the spectrum?
Local police have been pretty responsive. We were getting threats and increased in aggression, and so we notified the police in advance. They've been aware of this and tracking this and increasing surveillance around our facilities for a month. We also notified and started a case with the FBI a couple weeks before this incident. And so the local police responded really quite quickly, as a matter of fact. And we're really happy with the investigation that they're engaging. The FBI is silent, but our local police are pursuing leads. We have video surveillance trained on all the points of penetration, and there are multiple perpetrators, and we pray that they're going to be brought out of the darkness and into the light. You know, we're pro-life people, and what pro-life means is that we everyone is made in the image of God. Everyone, therefore, is equally valuable and invaluable, even invaluable. So therefore, we should not violate anyone, and that includes children, preborn boys and girls, all the way to from the womb to the tomb. And that's what we're all about. We even value the lives of these perpetrators. We just want them to come in out of the darkness and into the light. This is the pro-abortion Kristallnacht. You know what that is? Pro-abortion Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht is in 1938. The brown coats,
yep,
out of the Nazi Party went and targeted Jewish businesses in the middle of the night, broke the glass, started fires. And there's two things that made that incident the headwater for violence to the Jewish community after that. Number one, the silence, the silence of the political elite emboldened this activity further, and a lack of public outcry. And that's what we're seeing today. And we're asking people to demand that their people like Biden and Governor Hochul in New York specifically denounce the violence against pro-life pregnancy centers. They refuse to do so, and it's complicity with the violence. They need to stand up. They're supposed to protect all citizens, not just the ones that agree with them.
Well, what do you expect, Jim, to happen? Dobbs' decision is going to come down in days, literally. What do you, I'm trying to get a sense. I don't know whether it would be as bad as the Floyd riots. Do you think people will take to the streets? I mean, abortion's not going away. There are states that certainly want to enshrine it, and there are other states that won't. What do you think the response is going to be? We're already seeing, Molotov cocktails and graffiti and destruction. You've encountered that personally. Do you think it's going to ratchet up? Do you think it's going to be more intense? What do you expect to come?
Well, the Department of Homeland Security anti-terrorism is watching this, and they put out a bulletin basically saying they're expecting more violent attacks on the lead up and the aftermath of the reversal of Roe versus Wade, and it's imminent. I don't know what to expect, quite frankly. I hope that these people are caught before the case comes out and they're brought to the light. There's a lot of anger being fomented right now. And we know, you and I know, that when Roe is reversed, it doesn't end abortion. I don't understand what all the hype hoopla is about.
Yep.
It's not the end of abortion. It's the end of the beginning of abortion. Abortion is not going to go away. It's just going to move to New York. The CDC and the Guttmacher Institute are expecting a 30,000 number increase in abortions in New York in 1 year. Women are going to be traveling. They're going to be flying from all the conservative states to get their abortions in New York and California. Governor Hochul and Governor Newsom are going to pay for it with taxpayer dollars, the flights and the abortions. It's horrendous.
Yeah, there's companies like Tesla and others that are also going to be giving money to their employees, to travel across state borders to go ahead and have an abortion. And I think companies like that, we need to let them know where we stand on that. I think it's horrible. It's going to be a whole new frontier. It'll be interesting to see what unfolds in the days ahead. What would you suggest to pro-life leaders right now, just in terms of where we are in the fight for life and what, we should do in the days ahead? I'm assuming because your place has been destroyed. Beef up security around buildings. But what about those people who are demonstrating for life or on the sidewalks and counseling as well? We're sharing how water bottles and bicycle locks are being thrown at them. What advice do you give?
Yeah. I would say, do not respond with anger.
Amen.
Do not respond with revenge. But be Christ-like. Peter said that we should not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among us. Jesus said this was going to happen. People were going to persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. But rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven. And I think that they just got to keep moving forward despite the threats and the violence. The Lord is our rear guard. The Lord is the one who went before us. We're his servants, and we're not greater than our master, and he took it on the cross. He's the one that died for us. We were going to die of exposure to our sins, but he said, "I'm going to be your good Samaritan. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to spend my resources. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to bring you to the end. I'm going to give your life back to you, but not so that you can spend it on yourself. I'm going to give your life back to you so that you can go and do likewise for the weak and vulnerable society. And there is no one more weak, no one more vulnerable society right now than a woman who thinks she has no other choice but to end the life of her child."
So true.
Keep up the good work.
I'm grateful for all that you're doing. I really am. And It's a good sign in some respect. Apparently, you know, those closest to the target, the most flack, you've come under a lot of attack for sure. So you must be doing a lot of great work. We'll be praying for you, Jim. I want to bring you back in the days ahead because there's going to be a lot that's going to unfold as Dobbs gets closer and certainly after it unfolds. If people want to follow you, get in touch, learn more about what you're involved with, is there a website or something people can track you down on?
Everybody can do something, yes. They can go to prolifepregnancycenter.com. That's prolifepregnancycenter.com and sign a petition urging their political leaders to denounce the violence against pro-life pregnancy centers. But also, if they wanted to know about Compass Care and what's going on here, they can go to erasingtheneed.com. That's erasingtheneed.com to get updates.
Well, you're awesome, Jim. Thank you for your time today. I'm grateful for it. And we'll talk again. I'll be back. We'll talk soon, okay?
I look forward to it. Thank you very much for having me.
That's Jim Harden, and you can check him out at those websites he just gave. He's the CEO of Compass Care, and that Buffalo Pro-Life Clinic was firebombed. Say a prayer for them. And I love this advice. I thought it was so on point. We respond with love, not with hatred. We don't take an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth, but we turn the other cheek. It is love, and it's prayer, and it's mercy, I think, that brings about conversion. And ultimately, in the end, this culture of death will consume itself. You are on the right side of history if you are defending the most vulnerable amongst us, if you are championing the cause of life. You can look back and hold your shoulders high, knowing that you hold your head high, knowing that you're on the right side of history. I'll be back with more. I'm going to tell you another story on the other side of this short pause. Unbelievable stuff happening with Catholic Vote. I'm not sure you're familiar with their group. They've got a campaign out, which I thought was brilliant. But I got to tell you what happened after they started this campaign. That straight ahead.
No matter what, God has the last word. You're listening to Drew Mariani on Relevant Radio.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
One thing that's often overlooked is the connection that the liturgy helps us to make in the month of June. First of all, June 3rd is the feast of St. Charles Lwanga and his companion martyrs. They're the patron saints of courage because you know what provoked the king's wrath and led to their martyrdom was their refusal to accede to his request that they be intimate in a homosexual way with him. So they set a real shining example of courage and of a willingness to stand up even to the most powerful person in their country and refuse to violate God's plan for sexuality.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's a Catholic response to pride. It's from Courage International. Here's the thing. You know, this is the month of June, right? It's a month dedicated to the Immaculate and the Sacred Heart of our Lord and our Lady. This is a month that has been co-opted now as Pride Month, and I want to take a look at this. I want to tell you what's happening. Boy, we live in such a confused time, don't we? It's just so amazing. I even have to talk about some of this stuff. We just got to talk about this abortion lobby that's out there, right? And we see how they act, right? They act out of anger against those who are out to help those who are most in need, you know, pregnant woman, right? Against the baby. They act out in anger against the church, against the pro-life movement. The gay lobby has co-opted the month of June. They call it Pride Month. And of course, I think we as Catholics just kind of start taking this stuff back. It's the month of the Sacred Heart. And it's been that way since the 17th century. Right, Pride Month is relatively new. The Solemnity of the Sacred Heart will be coming up in 2 weeks. I think it's the 24th this month. But Pride Month, that means that the gay lobby gets to flaunt itself to the rest of the world with impunity. And I don't want to be uncharitable. I know a lot of people have same-sex attraction. I do have a problem with how some of this is handled. In fact, you've got major corporations right now joining these celebrations. They're having celebrations all across the country. Major League Baseball teams and hospitals and all kinds of other organizations are getting in on this. And you got to wonder how much, you know, they're doing it because, you know, do they do it because they really believe in this and they want to champion it because they like the gay lobby? Or do they do it because they're afraid? Do they do it because they're thinking, oh, man, I know. What would the gay lobby do if we don't portray them in a positive light? You know, if we don't positively participate, what are they going to do? They're going to boycott us? What's going to happen to our brand? There were five members of the Tampa Bay Rays baseball team. I don't know if you heard this story or not. They refused, and I commend these men. They refused to wear their uniforms that had logos made in the rainbow colors. They said, we're not going to wear these. And of course, you know, the symbol of the rainbow has been co-opted as well, just like the month of June has been co-opted, just like the word gay has been co-opted. You know, I was in Westchester, Pennsylvania a couple days ago, and there's a street there called Gay Street, right? And I said to my son who was in the car, I said, you know, the word gay had a totally different meaning than it does today, than your generation knows it. If I asked you what gay meant, you'd give me a definition, but really gay meant happy. You look at some of these Christmas songs we sing, right? We're gay, we're merry. The word's been co-opted. God made the rainbow, right? In Scripture, that's a sign of the covenant he made with Noah, right? And what a beautiful image after the flood was over. And he said he would never again destroy all flesh by flooding the whole earth. That image has been co-opted. It has been hijacked. And it means something totally different. When we see rainbows today, it communicates a totally different message. And you heard earlier in the week, John Harper was sitting in for me. And again, I want to thank him for the great job he did. I believe when I was gone, they talked about how the gay lobby was targeting children. And that's horrible. Teresa Farnan was on, I think it was Tuesday of this week. And if you missed their conversation, I heard it was just absolutely stellar. They dealt with this whole drag queen story hour. Hour three of the Drew Mariani show, I think it was on June the 7th. You can go back and check that out. I'm pretty sure that was the date. I'll check right now while I'm talking with you here. I can pull it up on my... It was Tuesday the 7th. So go back and check that out. Hour three if you want to listen to a great podcast, all right? It's already up there right now. You can download it and check it out. But they talked about how these drag queen hours at public libraries are targeting kids, how drag shows at bars are being marketed to kids, and those libraries, both public and at, you know, schools, are pushing all kinds of books on young readers about homosexuality and other problematic lifestyles. So there's an organization fighting back, and I want to commend Catholic Vote. They did something I thought that was absolutely brilliant. they started this campaign called Hide the Pride. All right, I won't tell you what they're doing. I'm going to let Josh Mercer, who's the political director at CatholicVote.org, do that. But I think this is just absolutely a great idea. And these are small ways that you and me, we can make a difference. Josh joins me today to fill you in on what they're doing and what the reaction to it has been. Josh, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hey, Drew, thanks for having me on. And I have to say, you're totally right about all the corporations. I mean, you go into any, you know, Starbucks or all these different stores, and especially on social media, you see their logos being merged with rainbows, and all the email messages you get from these companies, all these corporations marketing this kind of stuff. And just in so many ways, it's like, oh my gosh, would you just turn off the faucet here? It gets a little bit oppressive. But the thing that really got us upset is that when they really just made it even more bold this year, as you said, going after our children. And the point that I saw somebody make the other day said, progressives reproduce by capturing our children. That's what they try to do. That's how they, you know, because they don't have kids of their own. They come after our kids. They want to corrupt them, and they want to rob them of their innocence. And so many of these books, Drew, I'm not going to go into the details of what's going on inside these books. We have the information at CatholicVote.org. You can find out about our campaign. But here's what we want to do. We're encouraging moms and dads. You don't know how you can fight back? Here's what you can do. Go to your local taxpayer-funded library and find these pride books that are targeting our children, and you go to the library and you check them out. And all through the month of this Pride Month, then these books aren't going to be around like little vultures around our kids.
Great idea.
And the thing is, the reaction was immediate. They did not like this at all. The gay lobby, you're talking about the LGBT activists, they did not like this. And the reason, there's two reasons they didn't like it, I think. Number one, I mean, of course, they think this is the greatest thing in the world. They want these books for everyone to be able to read them. And they want to target our kids. But they also, I think, I got to be honest with you, Drew, I think they were upset because we weren't saying ban these books. You know, we're just saying check them out. Get them out of the library so that these kids won't see them. They're, you know, they always have these big displays, all these books. Go there, check out 10, 12 of these books and bring them home. And then bring them back in a month when they're due.
Yeah.
And that way the kids, you know, they're not going to be targeting our kids like vultures. So I think those activists really did not like the fact that, boy, that we're doing this, number one. And number two, we're doing it in such a way, just, we're not saying ban the books, just go check out the books.
I think it's a great idea, because how else do you get them off the library shelves? How do you protect kids, right? You hide the pride, as your campaign is so appropriately dubbed. You hide the materials by checking them out, and have your friend come the day you're returning them to check them out. It keeps them off the shelves. But I understand there was a response from a pro-LGBT group or activist that I think it's called Book Riot. It's a prominent left-wing publication. They published a report on Hide the Pride Monday, and they called you guys bigots, that you're denying trans children essential resources that can save lives. And there's been a lot of also openly anti-Catholic sentiments in response to Hide the Pride. What kind of reaction did you get? What are they saying? And, you know, how's that all shaking out?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it just brings out, you know, some of the more vicious comments, you know, and of course, being in the political business, we're just used to getting those arrows, and, you know, we're letting the moms and dads know, like, you know, that's what they're going to say, you know, and we'll take the heat for it. But get out there and check out those books so kids don't have access to them. But here's the thing. I mean, we're not even talking about books that are for adults, okay? We're talking about kids that are specific, you know, books for 5, 6, 7-year-old kids. That it's just absolutely inappropriate material. And they think because it's Pride that it should be fine. But it's sexually explicit material. Like, you would be shocked at the stuff. And like I say, I'm not going to describe it on the air here, but it is outrageous. It is absolutely for only people over the age of 18. And even then, it's really inappropriate, you know, and we detailed what's going on in these books. So if you go to CatholicVote.org, we'll tell you, like, we'll show you, here's the books that are the worst and absolutely should not be anywhere near children. And please check them out so these kids won't experiencing them during Pride Month. But, yes, you know, they just don't want this debate. They just think this is, you know, just like drinking water. There's what could be possibly wrong with this. And they use that excuse about children dying, okay?
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's just, it's vicious. Because their whole thought is, if we don't affirm what a 5-year-old or 6-year-old wants, and we try to correct their behavior, that somehow they're going to become suicidal, and they're going to kill themselves, and then it's suddenly our fault. It's absolutely vicious. When in fact,
yeah,
what these children that are experiencing these things, what they need, whether it's same-sex attraction or if they feel like, you know, they're a boy that feels like a girl, whatever, what they need is healing, and they need the truth. And and the church teaches in a very loving way. You have done a good job on this, and the other people in your program. But ultimately, what we're trying to get at is these books were put in access in these tax-funded libraries, targeting our children, and there was no public debate about this at all. Right. These libraries did not come to parents and said, hey, we're thinking about making the sexually explicit material available to 5- and 6-year-olds, you know, kids. What do you think about that? Because parents would have been like, are you out of your mind?
Right.
No way. There's no way they would go for it. And then even some of these libraries, they have the drag queen story hours, like you say, where you have a man dressed up as a scantily clad woman and doing all these weird things, and you're like, and it's for kids. And it's like, there's no way that you would bring a stripper in from a strip club into a school or a library. So why is it okay? It's sexually explicit. It's not acceptable. It's totally wrong.
So what has the response been? Are you getting a lot of parents joining you in this campaign?
Yeah, we're getting, it's funny, we get these photos, people, like, they show us a bucket of the books that they have in the car, and they say, here's what the display looked like before, here's what it looked like afterwards.
Wow.
And people are doing it. It's a grassroots effort, you know, they're just trying to get out there and check out these books so that the kids won't have them, like, these books are like vultures. I just think it's gross.
Well, let me do this. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, I only have a couple minutes with my guest today, Josh Mercer. If you want to get in, good time to call. It's 888-914-9149. I'll take just a couple calls on the other side, so feel free to pull up a chair and join the conversation. 888-914-9149. Taking a look at something you may not have been aware of, but boy, I want to commend Catholic Vote for their campaign to hide the pride and protect those innocent children. More conversation straight ahead.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's good to be the great bumper, Maggie. I like that. It is Friday. All right, getting ready for the weekend. Cannot wait. And I always like hanging out with you. We'll talk again in about 2 days, right? I hope you'll join me. If you missed any of the conversation this week, you can certainly hit our podcast. So go to relevantradio.com and just search for the shows. You can listen to anybody's. If you want to get plugged into mine, relevantradio.com/Drew. Relevantradio.com/Drew. And you can check out some of the great conversations we had this week, including this. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking today with Josh Mercer. He hails from Catholic Vote. That's a great organization, especially as the elections get closer. You know, we rely on them a lot, but they have great news and great defenders of life and morality in the country as well. A lot of our they promote our Catholic values, and that's really the solution. That's really the antidote to the disorientation that's going on in the culture today. And they launched a campaign called Hide the Pride. And this might be new to you. You might want to do this at your own local library. You know, great thing to do. Hide the Pride is it's a parent-led movement to empty local taxpayer-funded libraries of what is progressive sex and gender-related content aimed at your kids, aimed at children. And without any input, as Josh was pointing out, you know, they had no parents' input on this. And that's what we're seeing a lot of, right? I mean, can't have the parent involved. They're the primary educators. They're the defenders. Libraries all across the country have already set up, inappropriate Pride Month displays. And these are your kids are being exposed to it. It's being made to look normal. And their Hide the Pride campaign basically tackles this challenge head on. And they want you to participate, go in, check those books out, and protect the innocence of your children by doing that. And Josh, you know, I only have a moment or two left for you, and I wanted to give you the final thoughts here too, especially when it comes to where we are with this particular month. As Catholics, you're Catholic, I'm Catholic, organizations here just trying to promote truth and love and call people to unity and respect the dignity of the human person. And pride is, I don't know how this has happened. These businesses, they kowtow to this movement. The culture itself, we're seeing the same thing. Pride Month has taken over the month of June, as I began when I started. There was a Catholic priest on I think it was on Facebook. Somebody sent me a copy of it, and he says every time he hears the word Pride Month in his presence, he's going to say pride is one of the seven deadly sins. June's the month of the Sacred Heart and of Jesus. What else can we do? Some final thoughts here, just to counter this whole idea of Pride Month in a loving way, and how can people get in touch with what you're doing and get better informed?
Well, you know, and you said over the weekend, I mean, I would just say go to CatholicVote.org. We have this information on Hide the Pride. We have a whole thing about how, you know, what books to look for. We have a sample letter that you can look at and use at and write to your librarian after you check out all the books and, hey, this is why we did this, you know, no offense intended. We love everyone, but like, this is not appropriate materials for kids. And it really is about making sure we can protect their innocence, like you said. And the thing is, the libraries are some of them are very resistant. One librarian in Ohio said he was a non-binary children's librarian. And this person said he explicitly thought it was extremely important, quote unquote, to bypass parents and make sure that these kids, these awful books, were available for kids. So, we got a fight on our hands. Pretty. But, you know, you're right, though. I do think the Sacred Heart is, you know, we have to be inspired by that and be humble and be strong and be willing to take a few arrows. Our Lord took a lot of arrows, obviously. Yeah. And I just think that we have to do what we can to try to protect the innocence of all children, not just our own, but the other children in our community. And this is a way to do it.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. There was a caller on. I didn't see this. My call screener is just saying she called in, but she dropped. She's a gay woman, but would never allow her children or grandchildren to read those books. And she said she didn't flaunt her lesbianism in front of them. I always never want a broad brush. I always want to deal with things in love. And, you know, there are parents, she's in the gay lifestyle, who clearly understands that latency period of a child, it can really affect them. And my credit to her for protecting her children from seeing that. Let me take a quick call and then we'll let you go. We'll go to Alicia. She's in Chicago. She's had an encounter too. Alicia, good afternoon.
Hi. How are you, Drew? I cut out and I have no idea what just happened in the last two minutes, but or whatever was on air. But I just wanted to say about my encounter. Yes, it's everywhere. I've shopped at Kohl's for the longest time, and as soon as I walked in, and when I saw their advertisements with these, you know, with these mannequins and Pride Month and all this stuff, I was instantly just shut down. Like, that's the last time I walked into Kohl's. Another, I subscribe to Fabletics. It's a yoga pants store or mm-hmm. whatever. Yep. As soon as I went on the website, I saw that, again, Pride Month, all this stuff. They're catering, they're advertising. And what it is it's all about money. So it's what, so the devil is just like totally propelling us even more. Like, hey, let's get this type of group's money. Yeah. By advertising, it's like it's an agenda, and it's just ridiculous. I was so shut down, and that's the last time I'm ever going to shop there too. I'm canceling my prescription.
Yeah,
one
of the reasons corporations decide to embark on some of these agendas is because they can hide some of the other stuff that they're doing. I mean, look at Apple, right? They make cell phones in China with slave labor, but they'll distract you, squirrel. By, you know, doing all this stuff that's pro-Pride, pro-BLM, all that other stuff to distract from the real problems that they're causing. And so, you know, it's an attempt, I think, to distract people. And the thing is, I don't want people to be despondent. I always have faith and a hope in Jesus. And the thing is, look what happened in Florida. There was a debate over a parental rights bill. Very simple thing. Kindergarten, first, second, third grade, we should not be teaching sexual identity or gender orientation stuff to these kids, grade school kids, 5, 6, 7 years old, whatever. And the Disney, one of the largest corporations in the world, I mean, they own, you know, ABC, they own Hulu, you know, all that stuff. And they mobilized like the Death Star against this bill. But the lawmakers in Florida stood strong. And what happened after that? Businesses said, wait a minute, maybe we went a little too far here. Yeah. So, you know, things can change.
Josh, thanks for being here. Thanks for what you're doing. Good to have you. Enjoy your weekend, okay? We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Always good to talk. That's Josh Mercer. Check him out, CatholicVote.org. Please share the information about Hide the Pride. I think when I saw the story, I just thought it's brilliant. It's just a brilliant way of doing it. You know, there's no protesting. It's just simply going to check out the books. You know, we encounter with love. I love the fact that we had the lesbian mother call in and said, hey, I wouldn't let my kids read this stuff. There is some sanity out there. And again, I always want to be charitable. I want to approach others with love. That's what we need to do. And, you know, it's not hatred. It's not anger that will change things. It's love. But we also have to take arrows, as Josh pointed out, and deal with this stuff, both with charity, but we got to be vigilant. You know, you got to do your part and speak truth, whether it's a corporation you work for or whether it's the local library. Hey, I have a moment or two left. Want to remind you of just two things. One, I am going to Israel in October, and I spoke to one of my colleagues this morning. That trip is the sign up for that is going to end in July. So you got a couple weeks to discern it. If you want more information, relevantradio.com/Drew. All right, you'll find the podcast, listen to anything you heard today or for the past several weeks or months. We've got lots of content there. If you scroll past that, you'll see some information about the trip and You can also leave me your prayer intention. And you might not have heard this before because maybe you're busy in the middle of my show and I stopped praying the chaplet. But I want to pray for you, and I'm going to take pilgrimage. I'm going to take intentions with me. So if your children are away from the faith, if your marriage is in trouble, if there's addiction in the family, if there's financial hardships, I'm going to be praying for whatever intention you have at some of the most holy places on the planet. I'll pray for those finances where Christ multiplied the loaves and the fish. You know, I'll pray for the conversion of your loved ones at Calvary, right? I'll pray for your marriage at Cana. I'll pray for that new beginning, transfiguration on Mount Tabor where the Lord transfigured. So just go to relevantradio.com/Drew. Send me your prayer intention. I'll take it with me. And please pray for me as well. Next week, you know, Maggie and I were talking. We don't have time to talk about it today, but Matt Walsh did a documentary on What is a Woman? This is a fascinating conversation as well, talking about all this stuff. We'll get into that for you next week. I'll give you another look at life you won't find anywhere else. If you're new to the program, set it to the dial, and please tell others about the broadcast, and certainly pray for me, and count on my prayers for you. I'll be praying for you over the weekend, as I always do. All right? Have a great one. Until our past cross again, remember God loves you, and so do I. Kel Clark is coming straight ahead. Don't go away.